Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. Danny, it's a big day in Charlotte soccer because you're hosting me on this episode of the show. Cheers to you.
Johnny, you've always been the role of host on the show, and I've been the comic relief. But yeah, we're kicking it at the new Casa de Brams. Just it was moving day. It's moving day here. We'll use a golf term on a soccer podcast, no problem.
Not the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Just I've been working for a week or so, getting, you know, doing the, you know, you move to a new place, you know, when you're an adult, you don't, you know, when you're young, when you're in your early 20s or whatever, you round up all the friends, buy a few beers or whatever, and get everyone to help you move. When you're an adult, you hire movers. So today was the day the movers came, got all my furniture over here, and yeah, we're setting it up. I still probably have to go make a couple runs for some small stuff later tonight, but we're hosting at the new Casa Brams. The acoustics in here sound pretty nice. We're drinking. What are you drinking, Johnny? Because I want to say, we're going to elaborate on this as we get in the episode, but allow us to reintroduce ourselves on Charlotte Soccer Show. We want to get back to some of the older traditions that we started this show with here as we hit the home stretch of the season. And one thing we always used to do, we would start with a what are you drinking? And we haven't gotten there.
We haven't. It's the Lagunitas. It's the IPA. It is fantastic. I think I'm pronouncing that beer right.
Lagunitas. Yeah,
Lagunitas. Yeah, yeah. I think that's right.
This is a housewarming gift from my dear sister. She and her family are in Charlotte visiting this week. I've been hanging out with them a bunch, and she came to check out the place, brought over a six pack. I said, "Hey, Johnny, why don't you come record at the new place, and we'll kill this six pack and have a good time."
I'm already on my second.
You're beating me. You're ahead of me.
It's highly balanced. It's super drinkable, and it's doggone good. It's got a dog on the front there,
and it's a 6.2 ABV for a highly drinkable IPA. We gotta love it.
That's almost in the session category, but not quite there for me. I think if you're gonna do a session IPA, you got to be under six.
Okay, I like that. Well, hey, we're about to have a session, and you know, we love our Hot Fly beer, but we branched out to the Lagunitas tonight, and I'm really excited to have you be hosting you as you're hosting me as we talk some Charlotte soccer, because it's a big day. The long rumored signing, the super signing of the year, apparently, according to the team's social media content squad, hyping up Tim Ream as if he were some kind of DP coming in. I don't really like it. I don't know how you feel. We'll talk about that. Everyone's allowed to feel how they feel. You know, I go to a therapist from time to time to help me deal with some stress, and she always says, allow yourself to feel however you want to feel. And I think that's a good advice for everyone, but I don't really feel that hyped up about it, about Tim Ream.
This segment brought to you by Better Health, one of the great partners of the podcast over at the Athletic. But seriously, a great partner and great advice to go talk to somebody, Danny, because we've got to talk about this situation.
Oh, yeah.
And
Tim Ream, go to therapy.
Because the best part is you're sitting on the couch right now.
Yeah, exactly. And you're across the room. I kind of feel like maybe this little therapy session with you and I is great.
It's Captain America. He's in the QC. Yeah. And Tim Ream is somebody that's had a great career. You can go back. There's a podcast episode where Daniel Brackett, the host of the Full Time Roundup podcast, he was a guest on the show, and we talked about Tim Ream and what he could offer to the club. We're going to get into that because
I thought was a good episode.
Thanks.
You guys said some good things, but now that it's official, I want to
revisit. Well, just let me just say that I do think that in that episode, we talked a lot about what Tim Ream could do tactically, mm-hmm. and I'll get into that again, but you could listen to that, and I think it's positive. But I'm not here to talk tactics today. I'm having a couple beers. I'm here to banter.
It's vibes only, baby.
I'm here to have a good time. And, you know, for me, I think it is the big name signing that Charlotte FC has promised. And
names people recognize, according to Joe LeBou.
And this is exactly that. So I'll give them credit for going to do that. You have national outlets mentioning Charlotte FC. You have big time media companies mentioning Charlotte FC. You have Premier League teams with players, you know, videoing send off messages, good luck messages from his former teammates, calling him a club legend. And when you think about it like that, it's pretty impressive. And he is a big name. But all you have to do is talk to the TIFOs. Because we asked the question, we said, does Tim Ream make you feel differently about Charlotte FC's ceiling in 2024? And we had responses like Sean Hardman here who said, it makes me assume Tim Ream must be washed up in Europe to be coming to MLS.
Well, it was a free transfer. And, you know, anyone could have had him for free, and he ended up here.
Chief Kiefer, he says, Tim doesn't hurt to have, but we still have an abysmal attack that needs to get sorted ASAP. Mm-hmm. Len Cornacchia says, no, he's a bolster on an already formidable back line. Brandon Davis says, no, Ream adds depth and experience, but I figure his addition doesn't make much difference in wins, losses, playoff run. Scoring has been anemic. We need playmakers and goals. Ash Hamrick says, yes, not much. Keegan Tifo says, no.
No.
And it just keeps going with that same answer. So
I think someone said in that thread, it helps the floor but not the ceiling, which is something I've seen repeated today as well from others.
Yes. Yeah, the ceiling, how's that go? The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof, is what Michael Jordan said. Yeah, exactly.
No so it, so let me try to understand this. It helps the floor, but doesn't help the ceiling.
Yeah, which makes sense. And like, someone, was it Brandon who said, it doesn't make that much difference in terms of wins, losses, playoff run, et cetera.
Yes.
I would actually separate those two things, not to get too in the weeds, but like, I don't think it makes a huge difference in terms of wins, losses here in the home stretch of the season. It could make a difference in terms of a playoff run because depth is what you need for the playoffs. And say someone gets hurt or you need some veteran experience, I could see Ream making a difference there. Again, I'm not trying to kill the vibe. I don't want to kill anyone's vibe. But I just find myself, my contrarian soul sees all this hype that's like, oh, Tim Ream. And it's like, oh, U.S. men's national captain, Captain America, like you said, Tim Ream. You know, we have a bunch of Fulham fans in our fan base for one reason or another. And it's like, oh, we got a Fulham guy. I'm so happy. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, he's our third center back. And we're giving him the DP rollout like that Liel Abada got. And I just don't think that there's some cognitive dissonance there for me that I can't really reconcile.
I'm going to keep the music. You said we were getting back to our roots. We're going to keep the music theme
always going
on the show. So
don't let me sing. Don't make me sing.
You're not going to sing. It's something it reminds me. I think it was Lil Wayne. He said, bitch, don't kill my vibe. And I think that's what that's
Weezy.
And you know, the reason why I'm not going to sit here and disagree with you is because it feels like a goodbye from top level football to an end of career easy move for Tim Ream. And this is a family
goodbye,
thing.
Yellow Brick Road.
It just seems like to me that this is a very short-term thing.
Right. He basically took this move to Charlotte FC because he likes the schools in Charlotte and he wants to raise his kids in the Charlotte area's metro area school system. You know, he even said in his interviews today, like, this was a family-oriented move. And that's great. Do what you need to do for your family. But that isn't like, oh, new superstar coming in to help elevate Charlotte FC's game to a higher level.
No, this is a day after the report came out that LAFC and Antoine Griezmann have been having some chats and that blockbuster deal could potentially go through and LAFC's push for the MLS Cup, right? So let's just leave it there, right? Because I think that makes the point as far as Antoine Griezmann and Tim Ream back-to-back days.
Yeah.
The former is the type of signing that warrants a celebratory reaction towards achieving the goal of lifting a trophy.
Right.
This signing today adds depth, adds experience, just like Bill Tuoloma does at the center back position as well.
Right. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, we wouldn't want to be stuck with Tuoloma going in there if Privet or Milani gets hurt. I had no problem with that. I like Big Bill. I mean, and he had the stink of Latanzio on him is one thing I've heard said about Big Bill at times. But he actually had the sick assist, the deep ball assist to Patrick Ajimong against Columbus Crew in a must-draw match. And I just think, like, Bill Tuoloma is someone who could contribute on this team.
Did you ever hear of the Titanic music sports social media page?
Titanic it's always music. Better with the Titanic music.
Yes, I do agree with that for what it's worth. I do agree with
that. Of course,
yeah. And someone needs to put the Titanic music
here
on that Bill Tuoloma assist to Pat. As soon as he strikes that ball, glorious. So I'm on the team.
I might have to do it myself.
You might do it. Yeah. Do your first Titanic music meme. I think it was, honestly, I need to confirm this, but I think the creator of the Titanic music movement was a PA with me at ESPN Radio.
Really? That yes. doesn't surprise me at all. There's yes. a lot of talented people at ESPN Radio.
Steven Jung, who's no longer with ESPN Radio. I just gave him a shout out. I'll have to check with him, but I'm like 98% sure that he was the one that got that movement started.
In my head canon, he now is, because you know I have no reason to believe otherwise. And again, I just think Tuiloma was fine as our cover at center back, and now Tim Ream is probably more skilled than Bill Tuiloma, but he's also 36 years old, turns 37 in October. He's not fleet of foot. I've compared this in my head to, I remember how everyone was like, oh, Christian Fuchs, we're so glad we got Fuchs. Oh, Fuchs, he's the man. He won the Premier League with Leicester, et cetera, et cetera. And everyone loved him, and people still like him, and people still love him, and he causes a stir whenever he shows up in public, but. It got to the point where no one ever wanted to see Fuchs in the starting 11 because he's just too damn slow. And I'm just not sure that Ream is really going to be able to keep up on a 36-year-old, about to be 37, on turf, coming to I don't think MLS is a retirement league, but just from the quotes I'm hearing from Ream, like what you just said, Johnny, it's like a step down for him in quality of competition from the Premier League, et cetera, and even from the EFL. And so it's like... I'm not questioning the guy's motives, but I just don't think that he's out here to reinvigorate his career and prove anything. I think he's here to have a good time and mentor some young players and maybe get some minutes and hopefully not hurt himself and make sure his kids have nice schools to go to.
I think it was Dean Smith. He said that Tim was really going to help in the dressing room. So
of course,
that's a good thing.
And of course,
that's a great thing. But
right.
But
it's like a coaching internship on one level for sure.
The new Harrison Affle, right?
We love Harry.
Yeah.
We miss Harry.
You know, one thing that is interesting to me about my reaction to the signing is it's on the heels of United States men's national team crashing out of the Copa America group mm-hmm. stage.
Yeah.
And the little bit of bitterness in my mouth, the taste that I have
yeah.
from such a disappointing summer of soccer, on top of the fact that Charlotte FC didn't even play in the U.S. Open, on top of the fact that Charlotte FC didn't even make it out of the group stage from this past Leagues right. Cup that's going on right now.
In a three-team group, we finished third and two teams advanced.
And didn't score a goal.
And scored no goal over 180 minutes.
Yeah. David Bingham did have a big save, though. I mean, that was speaking of moments. I mean, that's going to be the last moment of his ceremonial career?
Yeah. Bing, I love Bingham, dude. But no, I didn't mean to cut you off because you were kind of going on a nice trail there, which is like we bring in a guy who was part of one of the most embarrassing U.S. men's national. He's a U.S. men's national player, but it was one of the most embarrassing men's national summers that we've seen since the failure to qualify for the World Cup 6 years ago.
Right. I think this signing looks good because last year at Fulham, he actually played really well.
Sure.
He did. Tim Ream played fantastically last year at Fulham, which is why I don't understand why Fulham doesn't want him this season. And Tim Ream did say that his family made the decision that they wanted to come back. So maybe it wasn't the club's decision, Fulham, that is. But it's a free transfer. But these things happen in the Premier League, especially this time of the year. All of these clubs are shedding weight.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was like Fulham was like, yeah, we're keeping Tim Ream for as long as possible because he's just kind of our backup plan at center back if we don't get something done. And that's how Tim Ream, and in his interview, said that he wish it happened sooner. But Fulham didn't want to make it happen sooner.
Right.
Because it was their security blanket.
They needed to make sure they were sorted everywhere else with what they really wanted to do before they could give up on the backup plan.
Right.
And now he's our backup plan if Milando or Privy get hurt. I don't know. We got to get into the question. I don't know if now's the right time or if you want to wax
the Tifo's questions?
A little more. No, not a question I have for you. We've heard from the Tifos already this episode. We will hear from the Tifos on some Tifos questions a little bit as we get going. I just want to say this before we get into anything. I'm not telling anyone else how to feel. If you're excited about Tim Ream coming to Charlotte FC, be excited. I'm not sitting here. I'm not the type to police fans' reactions. My beef is with the way the club is treating this. And what I feel is gaslighting to the fans. What I feel is distracting away from the fact that we have not made an actual true impact signing on offense where our problems are.
Well, that's why I gave them credit for what they accomplished based on what they set out to do. Was sign a name. They did it.
They signed a name. They signed a name, and people are excited, and people should be excited if they want to be excited. I'm not excited because I think I see through what's happening, and I just also, like, I don't expect Ream. I would, like, say Ream replaces Privet in the starting 11 right now, which I don't think will happen, but could. If that's to happen, that makes us a little bit better right now, but it hurts our development for the future of a guy that we've got under a long-term contract who we re-upped earlier this season. So we've got Milanda and Privet, two under 23-year-olds as a center back pairing, both signed to long-term deals, who are make up one of the top five defense, the core of the top five defense in the league, and we're going to replace one of them? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's totally a tutorial type signing, right?
Right.
Where these two players are going to learn from Tim Ream for sure. And Tim Ream's going to offer some balance with the left foot. Do you think that Ream ever, like, Ream is eligible to play immediately? He can play.
Get him in there.
against New York Red Bulls in Charlotte FC's return to the pitch.
His former
club. Here in a couple Saturdays.
His former club before he went to Fulham, he played for Red Bulls. So,
do you think that Dean starts ahead of Andrew Privet night?
Even though Dean would probably not like me saying this, he would disagree with this characterization. He does tend to do things on a sentimental basis for every once in a while. He started Ajmong over Capetti up in New England, if you remember, because a lot of Patrick's family was in the area. That didn't go so well. I think he also wanted to bench Capetti to send him a message at that time. I think it's going to come down to the training. It's going to come down to who plays best in training as far as who plays against New York Red Bulls. And they got 3 weeks to do it. So I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no, he doesn't, but he might.
One thing that this signing does undoubtedly is that it officially makes Charlotte FC the center back team.
Yeah.
Dean Smith played center back.
Yeah.
Big name signing, Tim Ream. Play center back. Two young players with extended contracts. Center back.
I just can't help. Every time you say Tim Ream big name signing, I just roll my eyes. I just can't help myself. I don't mean it's an involuntary reaction because I'm just like, I mean, I get he's a name and I get he's U.S. men's national.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's literally a name. That's why it works.
His reputation is more than his impact, I think. And that's why I have a hard time with this, like I called it before, and I'll call it again, a DP style rollout of this signing. Like when we signed, you know, Milanda, you know, when we signed Nuno Santos, you know, these guys were just, and we signed Yeri Yurinen. These guys were not like, these were like, hey, welcome to the club. We're excited to have you here. It wasn't like 17 social videos and career retrospectives and, oh my God, we got this guy. And it's just like, I don't buy it. I just feel like it's all a distraction. It's all obfuscation. It's all a smokescreen for the fact that Zoran and his crew have done nothing in 2 weeks of a window being open. And now we have 3 weeks break of training before we play again. And it's like, we should already have someone here already green carded and visa'd up so they could take advantage of integrating into this squad on the attacking end with this, all this training we're going to be doing. It pisses me off, to be honest.
Where's Toklamati?
Bro. Where in the world is Idan Toklamati? I don't fucking know, dude. The guy, like, he was supposed to be on the Israeli Olympic team, never even made the bench for any of their three group stage games. He apparently went to London for a medical, and I saw him post a picture of Zidane, like, oh my God, during the Olympic opening ceremonies. But where is Toklamati? I don't fucking know. He was supposed to be on the team. People have reported that he's been signed, and it's a signed, sealed, and delivered done deal for $3.5-4 million. But, like, the club has done nothing to indicate that. It's all coming from an Israeli reporter. Who knows?
Well, that's the only link that I've seen out there in the attacking space.
Idan Toklamati, who's with Israel at the Olympics, has been sold to Charlotte FC. No, he's not with Israel at the fucking Olympics. He wasn't even in the squad for any of their games.
That's amazing, considering there were people just trying to find where Israel was playing their game on Peacock to see him.
Right.
Because people were excited about.
People like Danny fucking Brams.
Oh,
I turned it off. I didn't even want to watch Liel after that, after saw that.
Okay, I think I've identified what we're dealing with here, which is just a classic case of of why when you study communications in school, you can go on a PR track or you can go on a journalism track. That there's two different avenues,
yeah, no doubt,
to get a degree in, get a job in, and communicate. And I think that, and I really do believe this wholeheartedly, is that there's so many people in and around Charlotte FC that cover the club that have no clue what I just said actually means. And that's okay. But from my point of view, the job of the journalist is to identify PR. The job of the journalist is to identify spin. And that's, I think that's what you're doing. And I think I see it and I respect it. And I think that there is, and I want to be clear, this is not a criticism of anyone. I know how rights media business works. I literally produced a show on the SEC network.
Yeah.
Right? Rights holder relationships are different. It's good for business, but it also blurs the lines between PR and journalism. And that's okay, because that's happening all over now at different media networks. This is just how the business works now. And not only do you blur the lines between PR and journalism, you blur the lines between PR and commercial interests and journalism. Where's the money going? Who's getting paid to present information in a positive light, in a straightforward light, or in a critical light? We see it at professional sports, and we see it in politics as well. I mean, it's really just, that's it, right? That's what we see. And on Charlotte Soccer Show, the reason why we called ourselves the Independent Charlotte Soccer Show is because we wanted to make sure that we were going down one path. And that path was the path of journalism, straightforwardness, admitting, though, that we wanted what was best for Charlotte FC because we lived in the city. We root for the team.
Right.
And I spend thousands of dollars to support the club.
Right. There should be no questioning of our support for Charlotte FC to be great, but we're also based on the investment that we put in for
literally
time,
the dollars
time,
and
time
cents.
And money and time. Don't forget the hours, man. The dollars and cents may hurt a little more, but the hours can never be gotten back. So don't think about them both. I want to say this, and let's. You want to hear something? Some facts without spin. You want me to spit a few no spin facts?
It's like National Signing Day. Can I send me the send me the facts?
Bill O'Reilly, no spin zone here. All right. I'm going to take the name out of it. Take the big name signing out of it. Remove the name. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Charlotte FC, having conceded, you know, Charlotte FC possesses a defense that has conceded the least amount of goals in the entire MLS, 27, as of right now. The least goals conceded in MLS. We have scored 30 goals, tied for fourth lowest in the league. We are tied with Chicago for fourth lowest in the league, just ahead of New England, Nashville, and Austin. This is not the East. This is the entire league.
I know. That's why I called us Burnley a couple months ago.
So, halfway through the window, we have no attackers signed and a 36-year-old center back. All right, so be excited that Tim Ream is a U.S. Men's National former captain and a Fulham player, if you like Fulham. But don't fucking try to tell me that this is some like amazing signing, because it's truly not. It addresses no needs, and it's absolutely pathetic to try to spin it as a DP-level signing.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. Will other signings come in the next 3 weeks or so? We'll find out. The Premier League season, the championship season, it starts, I believe, this weekend.
Well, we know we're not getting Griezmann.
So on the 10th, let's see, this Saturday, the 10th, technically the championship, the EFL championship, that is, starts the 9th on Friday. And there's championship football. Norwich starts the season on the road on Saturday. Either way, my point is, things are starting in England right now, officially.
Yeah.
Windows are closing. Teams are finalizing rosters. Charlotte FC is dangerously close to not finalizing its roster before everybody else does.
Because that's how this front office conducts business. Every single window is everything comes in at the end, and then we announce these signings right at the end of the window, and then these guys need to go get green cards, so there's 2 weeks, takes two more weeks after the window closes for them to be available. And it's frankly anyone who's listened to this show for a long time knows that I am down with Zoran Crneta. I love the dude. I want to adopt me, Zoran. If Tepper doesn't adopt me, I wish Zoran would. I love these guys. I'll always dab Zoran up when I see him out at matches or whatever. I'm not like trying to like hurt that relationship necessarily, such as it is. It's not like we hang out, but like, you know, I like the guy. But like right now, I'm not impressed. I'm severely, decidedly unimpressed with what I've seen from the front office right now. And they can tell me they're out there scouting guys and all that. The scouting team does a good job, but they're not signing guys. And I think it speaks to some problems of cheapness on Tepper's part. And I don't know if Zoran has been hanging out with Tepper too long and is just like, has become like cheap by osmosis as well. But when we've talked to Zoran on this show, he's told us things like, I don't like to sign intra-MLS transfers because if you try to get an MLS guy like Kellen Acosta, they just want too much money. So, you know, maybe Zoran's cheap and Tepper's cheap and it's having like a exponential effect or something like that. It's really frustrating, though.
You know, Dean said something like that today, too. And
he's been infected with the virus by being here too long.
And I'm gonna confirm this, but I believe it or not, did a little bit of research, some pre-production before the episode today.
I would expect nothing less, Johnny.
And I'm pretty sure that I saw a quote from Dean Smith that talked about that. But for me, I think that I always wanted Charlotte to be as successful as Atlanta. And I think part of the reason why I am just at this point, I mentioned it earlier, and I want to get into it, is the crashing out of both cups. Mm-hmm. I want to win a trophy. I want Charlotte FC to have a parade. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the next step with soccer in Charlotte is when casual fans or people that don't know about the game see the celebration of the trophy.
Yeah.
And they go, wait a minute. Yeah. What is that? I want to be a part of it. We just accomplished something here in town. I'm getting behind this team.
Can I tell you why Atlanta was so successful and won an MLS Cup within their first few years of being in MLS?
Players.
Because they scored a fuck ton of goals. Because Joseph Martinez scored the most goals ever in an MLS season. And Miguel Amarone set up most of those goals and scored a bunch himself. And he was a dynamic, exciting player. And he was sold to fucking Newcastle United in the English Premier League. And no, there's no one from our fucking squad that's going to be sold to the English Premier League. Are you kidding me?
Adios Amalanda.
Carol, but he's a defender. I'm talking about attackers, dude. Karol Swiderski bombed out of the bottom of Serie A, which is the worst league in Europe. And, like, he couldn't even get on the field for one of the worst teams in the worst fucking league. It's pathetic, dude.
Speaking of Carol.
We don't have attacking talent on the squad. And I love Ajumong. And I love Liel, and I love all of it. Don't score goals.
And this, again, perspective is so important. Patrick Ajumong is a kid that grows up in hard times, goes to Division II school, goes to Rhode Island, gets drafted, makes $75,000, and this club relies on that.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, Patrick is putting this fucking club on his back.
Right.
And he has done this because the failure, the $8 million signing who came to town to play the position to get paid the big money couldn't fucking make it. Yeah. And Patrick Ajumong made it all come together, because without Pat, you've got absolutely nothing.
Where would we be without our league minimum 21-year-old striker? You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. And, like, listen, before Charlotte FC came around, I adopted Atlanta United as my
Pat's
MLS 23. Team.
He's 23.
23. All right. Well, whatever. Well,
Either way, he's still young. That's my point.
I cheered for Atlanta United when I first moved to Charlotte because I wanted to have an MLS team, and they were the closest by proximity. I drove down to Atlanta for multiple games.
For the love of the game.
I would go down to Mercedes-Benz to watch Atlanta United play. Now I've sworn off them. They're my sworn enemy, etc. But, like, let me tell you something. When you were going to an Atlanta United game in, like, 2018, 2017, 2019, it wasn't, oh, is Joseph going to score tonight? It's, oh, is Joseph going to get a hat trick tonight? Like, that's what you were wondering. You knew he was going to score a fucking goal. And now with Charlotte, it's like, will we score tonight? Will we score this month? You know, like, it's like, will we have anyone get three goals in a month, much less a game? It's really frustrating when you try to support this club. It's fine to have a defensive identity, and I'm proud of our defense. We'd be sunk without the fact that we have such a great defense. And right now we are a playoff. We're in a playoff push. We're looking to make a push to host a playoff game. But like, it's not attractive soccer. It's really hard to watch, and you know that better than me, John. Like, you're the guy that like it will just turn. You know, I'm not saying you turn games off and turn your back on squad. I won't put words in your mouth, but like, it's tough to watch. It's a slog to watch this team. And you, like MLS, and it's even worse in Major League Soccer, which is a goal scoring league. Like, there's no like great defensive teams in MLS. MLS is about scoring goals, and you just try to hold on at the back. And we're the exact opposite of that, and that's why we can't necessarily thrive.
It's a great point, and I've said this to soccer fans, you know, people that through work that I talk to throughout the week who want to talk about Charlotte FC, and I always say about Dean Smith, I say Dean Smith is saving face a little bit. He's playing really good defensive soccer, and it is making Charlotte FC look good. And the reason why that's happening is because if Dean Smith went for the attacking style of play and just went all forward all the time, then the club may have some issues right now. But he's focused on the thing that makes this team work in a relegation battle, that makes this team work in the English Championship, in the EFL. He's playing a style of football that doesn't make sense in MLS. And I'm not blaming Dean for that, right?
It's pragmatic.
It's very pragmatic. And I think Dean is smarter than me about football, will always be smarter about me with football. And if he's here for the next 3-4 years, I guarantee it changes.
He needs players, though.
But in year one, he's like, I'm not going to fucking be stupid here. I know what I've got. We're going to play some fucking solid defense, and we're going to look like a good club with a promising future.
Right.
I'm not going to go blow my load in year one and crash and burn at MLS like Wayne Rooney, right?
Right.
Like other managers who have come over here
and
looked fucking stupid.
And you see the experimentation that he's forced to go through. Like, one game it's Bronico at the 10, the next game it's Bender at the 10, the next game it's Petkovic at the 10, and none of them work. And I love Bronny. Bronny's impossible to keep off the field because of his work rate, but like, we would all feel better if it was a Westwood Bronico pairing with Diani as the relief and like a really awesome attacking midfielder, like in that top of that triangle in the midfield, or you know what I'm saying, as the third midfielder.
I wouldn't speak for everybody, because I think a lot of people would want Diani over Bronny in that situation.
A lot of people do, for sure, but not everyone appreciates Bronny, but the stats don't lie, and I'm not talking about goals and assists. I'm talking about work rate and
running,
the physical stats,
that shows up on the
there's
monitor
a reason three
that they
different
wear.
There's three different coaches at Charlotte FC who all wanted to bench Bronico and just couldn't force themselves to do it.
Okay, we're going to get into Tifo's questions, but I've got a question for you. Before, if Bram Bronico wasn't able to wear monitors that tell coaching staffs how impressive his work rate is, would he get playing time? I don't know. That's something to ponder.
Like if this was 20 years ago?
Yes.
I don't think he would. I don't think if it was 10 years ago, he would look at how Chicago didn't appreciate him when he was there.
That's how data impacts football, and that's going to continue happening as these soccer statistics continue to get more prevalent. I think, Danny, you were on the forefront when it comes to fantasy soccer, when it comes to logging minutes and what that means and how statistics are accumulated in the game, because I think most casuals would watch a soccer game and the statistics that are happening in front of you, you don't even realize that they're happening in front of you. When it comes to duels, when it comes to touches, when it comes to passes completed, all the things, when it comes to, not time of possessions, not percentage of possession, but possession, but like the heat map situations.
Yeah.
We've showed that on our show so many times.
Yeah.
Data is your friend for sure.
It matters. It means something.
But we're gonna take a break. Let's take a break.
Let's get another beer.
Let's get another beer.
Lagunitas, you know.
You're hosting me. You're hosting me. So
not quite a session.
The beers are free.
The fridge is full and the beers are free, baby. We're loving life. We're loving the Tifo's questions. But as we get to them, we had a lot of calls, especially shout out. We got to do Ash Hamrick's question first, because Ash came to us at Hopfly recently and said, guys, love the show. Love what you're doing. Need more of the show and need Tifo's questions back. And we're going to do it next. So it's Tifo's questions time. We said we were going to start with Ash Hamrick, who we're going to give Ash credit for bringing back Tifo's questions, even though it never really went away for any particular reason, but Ash is one of the best TIFOs we've ever had. So happy that we've got to spend more time with him this year. He's finally back from Germany, where he was sojourning last season doing some student work. And he's got a question, Johnny. I'm going to ask you this question, and then you can ask me the next one. How about we ping-pong these?
Good idea. Okay.
So Ash asks, if we do not get a new creative midfielder, and you may want to look up the table here to help yourself answer this question. If we do not get a new creative midfielder, which Tom Bogut assures us that we will, and so does Z, what should be our expectations for the rest of the season and how far we make it into the playoffs?
Don't need to look up the table for this. I said this to you the other day, and I think that it is eighth and ninth place.
You really think so?
I think that all of a sudden Charlotte FC has a chance to fall into that play-in game. Potentially hosted. I think eighth place is a possibility. When you look at the teams behind us, Charlotte FC plays Montreal, I think, twice.
Yes.
Two big games against a team that's right behind Charlotte in the table. I think that's going to be really important, those two matches. A team that – has Charlotte FC – have we won north of the border yet?
We beat Toronto in Toronto at least once, I think. It could be wrong.
Was it this season that we beat them up there? No, we lost to them this year.
Against the win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know if we've won in Toronto yet. We went up to Vancouver. Remember when we went to Vancouver? What happened in Vancouver that night? We lost that match
as
well.
They had a late equalizer.
Late equalizer draw. A lot of draws north of the border.
Yeah.
It's not easy to go up to Montreal and get 3 points.
It's definitely not. You can go up and get enhanced aspirin.
Oh, by the way, Philadelphia, who just beat us in League's Cup, knocked us out of League's Cup. They've got two strikers who are playing really well right now.
Yeah, yeah,
and
one of Liel's countrymen for sure.
Philadelphia is charging up the table to try to take Charlotte.
Philly at one point was at the bottom of the Eastern Conference table, and they've sorted some things out, and they're surging. Team surge. What I would call this is a high stakes schedule closeout to the season because we play teams that are below us. So in theory, we should win, but if we lose, we're going to sink. So it's high stakes. It's high, you know, it's high risk and high reward, I guess you'd call it. But yeah, I mean, we play Red Bulls, Atlanta, Montreal, Orlando, New England, Miami, Chicago, Montreal, DC to close out the season. And we're seven. Let me double check this. We are, I believe, 7 points clear of eighth, 9 points clear of ninth, and we have a game in hand on eighth with Toronto being there. Yeah, that is correct. So I don't agree with you. I think we will take care of business enough and get enough points out of those games to hold in a three-game playoff series spot, which is the top seven in the league, guarantees at least one home playoff game, if not two. But how far do you think we go? Whether we're in that play-in, to the second part of Ash's question, whether we're in that play-in or whether we make it into the three-game series spots already, do you think we can win a playoff series? Are we equipped to win a playoff series?
I mean, have you listened to the first 30 minutes of this episode?
Well, that's where I'm a little more optimistic because in the playoffs, it changes. The playoffs are different from the regular season in that
it's a knockout competition.
It's a knockout. It's about preventing
goals.
Yes,
and Charlotte FC has done fantastically well in those so far this season.
Yeah.
I did say the team that was actually in Dean Smith's tactics are very good in a knockout competition.
Yeah. And then
they went into League's Cup and only gave up one goal.
Right.
In two match, you know, so we can bag on them.
Score any.
We can bag on them for not scoring in 180 minutes, but they only gave up one goal in 180, and Dean Smith hanging his hat on that in a knockout competition is doable. Can you the question from Ash basically is, how far can you ride that until you have to start playing? And that is clearly into the quarterfinals. This team will not make the quarterfinals. It's not good enough to be top four in the East.
Portugal won the Euros without scoring any goals once long ago. So, I mean, it's certainly doable, but I'm going to take the easy cop out here and say it's matchup based. It depends on who we play.
Okay.
Which is true. It's definitely, I mean, it's not,
yeah, totally.
Not wrong.
Not no, wrong. It's not wrong. Not wrong at all. Chief Kiefer, he chimes in. He says, after League's Cup break, where do you guys think we finish in the table?
So you think eighth, ninth. I'm going to say we actually surge. I like the way the runout is. I think we beat Chicago.
Wait,
I think
time
we
out.
Beat Atlanta.
Time out. Ash, his question stated, if we do not get a new creative midfielder.
Oh, good point. Yeah, good point. Yeah. So Chief Keefe is actually holding out the hope that maybe we actually will sign.
Well, something. I'm just saying my answer would be different.
Okay.
After League's Cup break, where do you guys think we finish in the table?
You can give that different answer in a moment. I'm going to say that things look good, and I think we finish top four still. I really do. We're 4 points behind New York Red Bulls. Winning against New York Red Bulls in this first match back of the 9-game closeout would definitely go a long way towards getting there. I think we're going to finish top five. I'm going to say top five.
Okay. I thought you were saying top four. When you add fifth onto it, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe they could squeeze into that fifth spot. Yeah. Top four is going to be really, really difficult, especially because coming out of the break, you've got those back-to-back games against your two biggest rivals, both at home, which is really nice. And mm-hmm. Charlotte FC has a great record at home, but Atlanta's not scared to come here, and neither is New York Red Bulls. It's two teams that are very used to playing in that building.
Yeah, they've both done well against us here in Bank of America.
And sure. That concerns me a little bit. And the reason why I am willing to say that maybe this team could finish eighth or ninth, Chief Kiefer's question, where will they finish? I think seventh or eighth feels really good. Even if they don't sign a creative midfielder, if they do sign a creative midfielder, I could get on board and saying maybe they get up to fifth place. But realistically, all of a sudden, you come out of the gates of this break and you play two teams who, by the way, I told you I did research for this episode, New York Red Bulls and Atlanta both crash out of the League's Cup as well. So they've got the time to prepare for these two matches just as we do throughout these next 3 weeks.
Research. We do research on this show, Tifos, we promise. I like where your head's at. I think it's interesting that we both kind of copped out here because you said seventh, maybe eighth. I said fourth, maybe fifth. There's a huge difference between fourth and fifth. There's a huge difference between seventh and eighth. There's no difference between fifth, sixth, or seventh other than the matchup of who you would end up playing. So it's kind of all in the middle there, and I'm going to quit being a little punk. I'm going to say we have a very favorable schedule. We close out at home against Montreal, then at home against Chicago, Montreal, and then at D.C. I think we get 9 points from those games, and we finish top four.
And here's a little bit of perspective. Every single position on the table that we talked about is in the playoff picture.
Right.
First time in club history that's happening. Last couple of years, we were talking about potentially missing the playoffs, did miss the playoffs, and just squeezed in under our favorite interim manager, Sir Christian Latanzio, who we have an update on him later in the show as well.
There's no way that Dean Smith is getting fired at the end of this year after everything that he's done and changing the culture. He's definitely getting next year no matter what. I promise you that. But if for some reason that we were to crash out and have the worst finish to the season of all time and finish outside of the playoffs in 10th, there would be some people in the season ticket renewal office getting fired because there would be a lot of people canceling their season tickets, no doubt.
Always good to hear from Chief on the show. What's next?
Let's go with Phil Blair. He says something, brings up something that we kind of talked about earlier. Regardless of signings or who the consistent starting 11 is after the break, those are your caveats.
Okay.
We know we're going to call Pat. So, when are we going to pay Pat?
Oh, wow. This is a great question.
And you, as Pat's agent, you should have some insight into this, John.
I don't think anytime soon.
So, they've renewed Vargas, Milanda, Privet, and they're not going to renew Pat?
I don't think that they have even started to have conversations about a contract.
Really? No. That shocks me to hear you say that.
And the reason why is because Dean wants to sign a number 9. And when your manager wants to sign a number 9, your backup is not getting paid.
I mean, if we don't re-sign him soon, we're going to lose him.
I think that Patrick Aujermong is going to end up playing somewhere else sometime in the next couple of years for sure. If Dean Smith is the manager of Charlotte FC, because I have seen nothing from coach, sporting director, assistant sporting director that supports the notion that Pat is the guy. And if he's not going to be the guy at striker, he's not going to get paid.
I mean, Dean's consistent in his praise for him and loves the way that he is tough to play against. Dean always talks about how Pat wears out the opposing defenses.
Yeah, because he's not stupid. He's telling you exactly what's true.
It's true.
But he's not
You're reading between the lines though a little bit.
Yeah, he's not banging on fucking Zoran's door saying, sign this guy up. This is our DP striker for the next 3 years.
If we were to lose Pat, who would be you know, I don't know all the numbers involved, but he would have to be relatively cheap to re-sign. We'd re-sign him on a Gam-Tam situation.
I don't think Patrick Aujamong in like League One. Maybe put him on a promotion side. Try to get him into the championship.
Bolton Wanderers with Scotty Arfield.
Oh, my goodness. That would be such an epic signing. I think Pat could go over there and learn a ton.
Yeah.
And I think it would be an experience of a lifetime.
You think he could develop more over there than playing here under Dean?
Absolutely. But you've seen what happens in MLS. I mean, the MLS pro referees aren't good enough to referee a physical fucking striker like that. They can referee that in League One and fucking Championship all day long.
Yeah, and he's such a big dude. I mean, they really don't know
how many times how many times has he either been fouled, been in a coming together, and it's impacted the match? Right, he gets sent off in one situation.
Dirty Miami players.
He gets fouled and goes down inside the box and doesn't get it called. He's somebody that we've talked about. These MLS referees don't know the difference between a player that can body you and a player that can body you but also gets fouled.
Yeah.
Like anytime that Pat touches anybody or anytime somebody touches Pat, they're like, well, that dude's big. Right. You know, he's going to get touched.
It's like AYSO shit for sure. Yeah.
In League One in the championship, they're just not blowing the whistle. And Pat knows that. And it's fucking let's go.
Well, then I would hope we would sell him and not leave on a free if it did come to fruition. I would think you're talking about how Dean might let him go. I would call it an indictment on David Tepper because the resources are virtually unlimited. I know there's a salary cap, and I don't think Pat's earned a DP contract. But, like, how can you not re-up this guy, you know, within the confines of what it takes in MLS salary situation? I don't know. When are we going to pay Pat, Phil? John says never. I'm going to say he gets – I think he will get re-signed. I think he will get re-signed before New Year's Day, 2025.
Okay. That's great. I mean, like, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe Pat needs to talk to some other representation for sure.
Name John Hayes Sports Agents.
JPH Media LLC for sure. By the way, Phil Blair, great question.
Thank you, Phil.
I'm looking at his feed right now.
Yeah.
He's
a Tifos man.
He's tweeting about Ruffles original chips. They sound pretty good right now.
Ruffles have ridges.
They sound pretty, pretty good right now. All right, Mike, this question's for you.
Okay, hit me.
Dave Lively. Great, great Tifos. Dave is. And I love his, I've said this, I think, on the show before, I love his handle. Be More Lively.
Such a good handle. Really nailing it with that one, Dave. Good job.
Is it Carol?
I'm going to give you a lively answer to this question in honor of Dave. I'll try to be more lively.
Is it Carol who insists on playing the nine or Dean's choice? Because with him at the nine, are we really putting our best 11 out there as Aujamong has to sit?
We are not putting our best 11 out there, Dave, because Carol's best position is to be that creative playmaker that we lack right now. I've said it should be Westwood, Bronico, pivot in the defensive mid with Carroll playing the 10 instead of the Petkovic, Bender, Bronico rotation or whatever. You can put Westwood, Diani if you want. I take Westwood, Bronico. If you want Westwood, Diani, I'm fine with that. I don't think Bronico is going to get benched, though. So, no, we're not. And to answer your question, it is Carroll who insists on playing the 9. It's both. It's also kind of Dean's choice because that's the best place to showcase him for a potential sale. And I think still believe Carroll is on the shop window. I still think Carroll's on the move. I think Carroll's long-term future is not at Charlotte FC. So Carroll wants to score goals. So you got to put him in position to get a bunch of goals onto his ledger so that we can sell him.
Exactly. So when you do it that way, that means Aujamong gets no time, and Aujamong can't up his value, and Aujamong gets fucked too because he's not getting the minutes in order to up his value. Therefore, Charlotte FC doesn't see him as valuable.
Yep.
And another team has to kind of swoop in and realize that there's a player that could potentially get more minutes with them. So I say that in response to you because I agree with you. I 100% agree with you that there's no other option. Like, if is it fair to say that Karol Swiderski is holding this club hostage?
Yes, it is fair. It's completely fair. It's completely fair.
I mean, 100%. We're crying out loud. Who is this guy?
He's a mystery wrapped inside a riddle, wrapped inside an enigma, man. I don't know. He scored his penalty kick. He missed a wide open goal, and he had a header that should have scored, but it was saved by a wonder save in the Austin match. Since then, what's he really done? Did he really shine in his minutes in League's Cup? I don't really think so. So I mean, Karol is Karol. Good for him. But man, I wish he would get a few more goals and we could ship him back out of here.
Sooner rather than later would be ideal. And that's why getting crashed out of the League's Cup is a bit of an issue. And that's our last question. Before one extra question, Paul Moorcroft. Is Paul new Tifos, the average grappler?
Paul is, I believe he's Paul's one of my SoRare guys who came over to the show from the SoRare community.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It's a good question. How serious? I was waiting for you to ask the question because it was your turn.
Oh, well, then let me hit you. How serious do we all take the League's Cup moving forward? It has so much potential on paper as a huge continental competition, similar to what UEFA have, but the way it's shaped up with empty stadia and hugely rotated lineups, it wouldn't be a shock to see it shit canned. Paul, I love it. Let's fucking go.
I loved this question because, and I will encourage any Tifos to do this in the future, right? Because this is not a two-part question. This is a question and an answer. Guy answered his own question, gave his own take, and then asked us for our takes too. I mean, that is next level fucking tweeting right there. I don't think we take it that serious at all. I can't take it very serious, especially when I'm going to be basically going into next season. It's going to be next August. And it's going to be 2 years removed from any meaningful games that Charlotte FC has ever played in League's Cup.
Yeah.
2 years. Like, I'm out. 2 years? Right. Two fucking years? I've got to wait? That's why this competition should be staggered.
Yeah.
It should be staggered. You should play it on weekends throughout the season. It should be a League's Cup weekend. It should be this early in the season, play some League's Cup, late in the season. Who gives a fuck? Just don't do it every August for a month. It's so fucking silly. And if they're going to continue to do it that way, it should get shit canned.
And it is weird that, like you said, Charlotte, Atlanta, Red Bulls now are sitting here, you know, sitting on their thumbs with doing nothing but training for 3 weeks. And that's not just those three. It's other teams in the league that crash out. And it's just a weird thing in the schedule. I like the tournament. I love the idea of competing against Liga MX.
We're going to be waiting 2 years for a big match.
Yeah, but I think that there's got to be a better way to do it, whether it's staggering it throughout the year. That doesn't really necessarily work with the Mexican League schedule. I don't know. I want to love League's Cup, and I have tried to love League's Cup, but I got to be honest, the way things have played out, I've come a little bit closer to your camp the more I think about it. So there we go.
Well, I don't even have like a camp. I just have like a.
Well, you're anti-League's Cup. You hate.
No, I'm not anti-League's Cup. I just said I would prefer to have it on weekends during the season as a staggered competition.
Right. It's like, oh, we got to like the FA Cup. Treat it like the FA Cup. Yeah.
See, you can call me anti-League's Cup.
No. In its current form, you're anti.
There you go. I think that is a more accurate representation of what I said. Final question.
Bonus question.
It's a bonus question.
From one of the greatest TIFOs ever.
Brandon Davis, he chimes in. He says, why is my podcast feed starving for more CSS content?
Well, that's a complicated question, Brandon. There's a lot of reasons for that. I think this has been a year where we came out of the shoot really hot. We were pumping the content. We went really hard trying to – the Dean Smith excitement, had us going. We expanded to YouTube. We expanded to edited videos from press conference. We expanded to Instagram. We expanded all kinds of different platforms and things like that. And we started off really hot.
Those Sunday live shows at Hot Fly,
yep,
were so fun. Yep. Anna Witty,
yeah,
joining the show, so fun. You're right. We were running hot to start the year, weren't we?
And what happened was not everyone appreciated that. That we should have probably, you know, we should lean more towards the people who do than the people who don't. But just things played out in a way that things that were said that I have apologized for, I'm not going to go back into them, pissed some people off, and people kind of attacked the show and came at the show and tried to, you know, hurt the progress we were making. And it kind of just killed the momentum a little bit. It kind of killed the vibe. It made us question a lot of things about whether the show was worth committing so much time to. Also, things happen. John got a new job. I got a new girlfriend. Like, things happen, like, that kind of took our time away and focus on other things and things like that. But, like, it's all a big big stew, cocktail, whatever food analogy you want to make, that have kind of hurt our ability to do things the way we were doing them in the first few months of the season. But what I'll say is that we love to do the show. We love to share the show with this community. We love everybody who has given positive feedback and positive messages. I was hanging out with Michael Volak, one of the TIFOs, the other night. He had a bourbon. I love the fact that, like, people who I've met through doing the show have become my actual friends. And I was hanging with Volak and his buddies the other night at a burgers and bourbon night at his house. He hosted, invited me. That was great. Love Tasty. Michael. And he said to me, he said, "Brams, I miss the old show." He's similar to what Brandon was saying. "I miss the show where you guys were sitting around drinking beers, talking shit, and cursing up a storm and having a good old time." Because we were starting to do more on YouTube, more virtual shows where we weren't in the same room together. And that's what this episode is. This is a throwback episode that hopefully will be closer to what we're going to be doing here on this home stretch of the season, which is getting together in person more. If we don't do a video and we just do audio only, that's fine. I was kind of, you know, pushing the video more than the audio only. But the audio only is a chance to actually lighten up and have a little bit of fun. So I've had a blast today. We've been drinking beers here at my new casa, my new crib. And life is golden. And I think I'm not going to make any promises that I can't keep. The other thing I would say is we've tried to iterate and expand the show a little more. We've brought in more guest hosts. We've tried to do episodes where we talked about the entire league or the world soccer. It was a summer of soccer with a lot of big tournaments going on. We've tried to incorporate all that.
True.
But I think we know that the core audience really does love the niche focus on, like, you can't get this content, this focus, this sort of, like, honest, independent focus on Charlotte FC that's not being tarnished, that doesn't mind being a little bit tipsy at times and dropping multiple F-bombs all throughout the episode, make you turn it down in the car when you're listening with the kids. That's what we do. That's what we're going to try to do as this club heads into hopefully hosting its first ever playoff match later this fall.
Yeah, it's a good answer for sure. I'm not sure if I dropped an F-bomb on the show tonight. Maybe
a couple of them. Yeah. Scroll back and listen again. Help the metrics, everybody.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Hey, and the other thing that we talked about when we saw this question from Brandon and wanted to answer it honestly was, like, okay, what's the next iteration? There's always been a next iteration of Charlotte mm-hmm. Soccer Show. It was this, then it was that, it was there, then it was here. And we were taking the last couple months to just kind of say to ourselves, what is actually next? What do we want to do with the show? And I think that if you're listening this far into this episode, you know exactly what's next. And it's exactly what you like to hear on Charlotte Soccer Show. And if that means you hate listening to the show, then, man, enjoy it. Hope you hate listening to the show.
Hate listens count just as much.
And I'm not even, honestly, like, and that's the other thing, too. It's like Charlotte Soccer Show, because of the TIFOs, became actually a valuable commodity where people wanted to advertise on the show. People wanted to be a presenting sponsor of the show. And as you can tell, those things no longer exist. And the reason why those things no longer exist is because, quite frankly, they were sabotaged. And right. It's because our sponsors were threatened
mm-hmm.
and our sponsors had to walk away
mm-hmm.
because of what people inside the Charlotte FC fan base were saying that they would do if they continued the relationship with Charlotte Soccer Show. Therefore, there is no more business happening around the show. It's more just Danny and I hanging out, having a good time, chatting, instead of being with a presenting sponsor. And that's what we're going to do from here on out. We're going to do an independent show. We don't have any partners. We don't have any advertising. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Rams. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.